We all have a story that's taken us from where we were to where we are now. A lot of people are finding their own path, are waking up. They have their own story of awakening. And that's what this episode's called, A Story of Awakening, Part 1. Another guest of the podcast and fellow coder, Matty Tomlinson, introduced me to Daniel Mengel. And that's tonight's guest. We went out to the bush and sat around a fire, and Daniel got to begin to unpack his story. It was a privilege to have him on the podcast, and I think his story is something that a lot of people will be able to relate to and can get guidance from. And that's what this is about. This whole podcast was created to allow people to tell their story. So I was very privileged and very humbled that Daniel wanted to come on and share his story. He wanted to name it only part one because I think we didn't get through all of it. He wasn't too well. He had a bit of a croaky voice and a bit of a cough, so bear with him. However, let's welcome him with open arms. And after a bit of a discussion, we're going to play Bathe in the Sun to bring this one in and Demons in My Mind to send you guys out. As always, thank you to Rowdy for the music, Jono for the intro. Remember, we're on Unlocking the Code on Facebook, Unlocking the Code on Instagram. If you can give us a follow, that'd be awesome. And 5-star ratings on whatever podcast app you're using to listen, that would also be excellent. Helps us with the algorithm. Really appreciate your time, guys. Some more stuff coming. Cool guests, cool conversations. Look after yourselves. Be cool. Stay safe. And we'll talk soon. Cheers. G'day everyone, welcome back. We welcome a new guest tonight to the podcast. Daniel, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm really good. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming down, man, or thanks for coming out. Not a bad spot. out in the bush, nice fire, good company. And you've come on tonight to share your story. You know, we've spoken a little bit over Messenger and Facebook and stuff like that. And you wanted to come on and share some of your experiences with the listeners and your journey and how you got there. So I suppose, where did it start, mate? Well, I mean, obviously it started at the start, but the particular one you've been on the last 4 years, is it?
Yeah, that's right. Pretty much 4 years ago, I had a major catalyst in my life and definitely triggered me into, you know, seeking things, you know, outside my current perspective. Like, you know, so after that catalyst, like, you know, I looked at my life and, you know, lived in this box, you know, like way society sort of, you know, fitting in with society was like a big thing. Social expectations from others and
keeping up with the Joneses.
Well, yeah, I was. And I honestly had everything that I thought a young man needed. And it was all pretty much egoic. It's like, yeah, like you say, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yep.
But yeah, like, I, you know, at the time I felt like I was living the dream.
Mm.
Is because, you know, what I had in my pocket, what I had in my fridge, what I had in my garage, you know, all the rest, you know, what I had in my backyard, and, you know, think that that makes the man. Mm. And
the materialism defined, would you say the materialism defined you to a point, or is it just, I mean, that is the society and culture we've grown up in, and that's a conversation we've had with a couple of guests on the podcast, however, it doesn't make you who you are, you know.
So I came from a pretty poor background. Like, my parents never really had a lot. What I had in the home was a lot of love. They were my foundations.
Yeah.
So that was always, you know, a big part of my foundations was, you know, loving family. And I think I really expected and demanded that, you know, from my life. They were my expectations. Like, you know, what I had as a child, I would get as an adult, you know.
Mm.
And, just, you know, get landing a job, in having an accommodation business of my own and a vineyard. I was only 29. So I was looking at buying the place. And I'm thinking, what an awesome dream.
Mm.
How awesome would it be to just, like, own this place outright? So I started working towards it. And it was pretty hard, pretty intense. But, you know, I was focused on that. And, you know, I had acquired, you know, a lot of a really awesome lifestyle.
Yep.
From the outside, looking in. But inside, really didn't have the foundations. So it's like all the bullshit that we can tell ourselves in life. Like, I pretty much probably told myself every lie, you know. Definitely, like, I don't know that it's, like, so I'm talking about a spiritual awakening, right?
Yes.
Finding myself.
Yeah.
And,
So, but you needed that contrast, I think. And that's something we've discussed.
Definitely.
Like, without that experience to weigh against, as you say, you know.
Yeah. My whole life was looking outside at other people.
Yeah.
Seeing what other people are doing. And bringing that in through, you know, my own filters, which, looking back, I feel were very limited.
Yeah.
I've had so much expansion and growth from month to month to month to month since then. So I've also had a lot of experiences that you might say paranormal, supernatural, really expanded my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Expanded the way that I think about reality, the way that I perceive life.
Yeah, right. So you said to me you were having a bit of a discussion the other day, and you were saying that you had a pivotal experience that woke you up. So,
yeah,
what was that, and how did that come about? I suppose, you know.
Okay, so a lot of people are familiar, like, with, you know, the terminology, like, spiritual awakening. Like,
yes.
That's old. That's like, been around forever and a day.
And look, I think that it is a somewhat of a misused term, at the moment and in the current time as well. Like, I think a lot of people would say that they are, and maybe they are or they aren't. I suppose it's up to your personal perspective. However, this from your perspective is your spiritual awakening coming into yourself and understanding that it is self. Yeah.
Yeah. So looking at the word, the term spiritual awakening, yeah, it can mean a lot of different things because, I mean, it's going to take you on your own personal journey. But there's another term, like if you're familiar with the Indian word kundalini, kundalini awakening is like an energetic thing that actually happens, you know, in the body,
yep.
In the physical body. You can feel tremendous amounts of energy, like if you were to experience a kundalini awakening. Yoga teachers that I've met say it's very rare, okay, but that happened to me. So if I'm referring to, you know, a lot of people refer to a spiritual awakening, it could be a gradual process.
Yes.
Over a long period of time. What happened to me, I use the words, you know, the terms kundalini awakening, just because it was sudden. It was very, very sudden. It was a huge shift in a very short amount of time, which was basically felt like I was being dragged to a whole new level of consciousness.
Right.
I was just on the ride.
And what were you doing with yourself? Obviously, things are falling apart, so you're in the depths and you're trying to find something else. So what was the, what were the practices you were doing while...
Yeah, that's a good question.
To trigger it, you know
what I mean? So, pretty much, I was drinking all the wine and I was eating all the cheese. I had an unhealthy lifestyle. Honestly, I really enjoyed it. Like, you know, considering all, I really enjoyed, you know, a lot of aspects of that life. But it was getting unhealthy, right? Now, I didn't have very good foundations with my ex-wife, so divorced now, okay. But back then, I had a tendency to want to help people or,
yep,
you know, fix people, broken things.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, we just have to learn the hard way.
That, yes, you do.
You're here for yourself. You're here for yourself. And as soon as you make your life about another person.
Or something else, yeah.
And, you know, there were times that, you know, I really felt like I was walking on eggshells.
Yeah.
Trying to please.
Mm-hmm.
So how I got gratification in my life was looking at all the material things that I had around me.
Yeah.
That was bringing me my false satisfaction.
Yeah.
So, like I say, I was drinking, I lived on a vineyard.
Yeah.
I was doing wine tastings for people.
Right.
So we'd open up like 5 bottles of wine and some port and, you know, we give a little sample of it. So what's left after that? You don't give the bottle of wine away. Like,
no.
The idea is to sell the wine, not give it away. So basically, you know, there's all this leftovers and, you know, coming from a family, you know, that, you know, we sort of utilized everything around us that we could and...
Nothing can go to waste, mate.
I know. Yeah, that's right. Don't want to waste it. Mm. So just by default, I was like, you know, I was drinking a fair bit. And a lot of the food that we would prepare for guests was like holiday food.
Yeah.
So when you got like 3 kids, as I do, you end up eating, you just cook extra, you know, and like you'll just like do one meal for everybody. So you end up eating the same kind of food all the time.
Yeah.
So since then, like, you know, I've lost like 15 kilos.
Yeah, right.
And I've had a huge, like, huge change in so many areas.
So what led you, so you had this awakening after everything fell apart, I imagine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I did have some things happen to me, you know, when I was younger. I'd probably like to start there, actually.
Because
I feel like this is really important. You know, a lot of people that I've spoken to since as well sort of relate to this.
Mm.
So I've had some things happen, like when I was 16, I don't know if you know what sleep paralysis is.
Yes.
So I had that when I was 16. And I've, like, woken up,
You can't
my
move.
Body. Yeah, I can't move my body.
Yeah, I've been there. Yep.
I didn't know what was happening, so I was pretty scared.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see at the foot of my bed is this like shadowy figure.
Mm.
And because I can't move, I'm blaming this thing for doing it. And so, I'm thinking it's got power over me.
Yes.
But it's not the case. I know now that sleep paralysis is like, it's a chemical in your body, right? It happens like your brain sends out a signal to your body, like for you to scratch or roll over. It gives a signal. If you don't scratch, right, if you don't roll over, it means that, or if you do roll over, it means that, you're ready to go to sleep.
Mm.
If you start scratching your leg or something, it means you're awake. So your body's, your brain doesn't know if you're asleep or awake. It has to send out a signal.
Yeah.
If it thinks you're asleep, it's going to put out a chemical through your body so that basically you don't act out your dreams in your sleep.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it. But occasionally you end up waking up, like someone wakes up and, experiences sleep paralysis.
Mm.
They can't move. It's like, well, nobody talks about this at school.
that's not fodder around the bubbler, right, mate.
Yeah, so it's a little bit like, well, what is this?
So did the thing at the end of your bed have form, or was it just like...
Yeah, it looked like a human. Looked human, like a human being, but just all black, mate. Like just shade, like, mate, I don't know how to explain this. Like a solid shadow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess, like, after this happened, I didn't think about it again. I was in school then. I went to school the next day and never talked about it.
Yeah, right.
I sort of, you backward engineer things and try and talk yourself out of this stuff to, think that it's real.
Mm.
So I had a couple of things like, happen before, what I say was my catalyst, my awakening. I say my awakening happened after the catalyst.
Yes.
But there were these like key moments when I probably could have said, like, oh, wow, there's something here. Something else than life here, apart from, what I'm experiencing in my physicality.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So you're aware of other energies around. I mean, I think we all, and it's sort of, I think we all have those experiences, if we're honest. You know what I mean? Like, however you
do. A lot do.
Yeah. A vast majority of us have had some sort of, what, as you say, preternatural, supernatural type experience that made us aware and understand that potentially that's not everything that's going on. You know what I mean? And I think the society has deemed us, it's designed us to believe that the material is what will bring us satisfaction. And then it'll, the things around you define you. However, they don't define you. And it is actually, if you are willing to go deep into these experiences, like the one you just talked about, those are the things that define you. Those are the things that make you who you are,
Mm.
So what's some other key ones that you wanted to share? So you had did that happen more than once, the sleep paralysis?
That did. Or? That happened again when I was 21.
Yeah. Just out of curiosity, was there anything particular of note going on in your life at the times that it happened?
No.
So it wasn't, there's nothing?
Just a kid going to school.
Yeah.
I have a daughter who's very intuitive.
Yeah.
Extremely intuitive. And comes out with some things like, how could you know that?
Mm. Mm.
But, so she's she's young. She's only 8.
Yeah.
She's like pretty advanced. Compared to what I was. But she's got a dad who's like,
He's kind of aware. Yeah, exactly. To impart the lessons.
Well, I don't put any of this on the kids. I don't really think that's fair.
No. They've got to explore themselves,
That's
what I mean?
Right. Yeah. That's right. If something happens to them, they can, hopefully be comfortable enough to, talk about it.
Mm. Mm. So 21, you had some more.
21, yeah. I was with my ex-wife. So at the time, and that night I was sleeping in the spare room. So I went and slept in the spare room, and it wasn't long. I went to sleep, and same thing again. Woke up, I see this thing at the foot of my bed. So I was, yeah, I was paralyzed. Couldn't
move.
Same
again. Yep.
Yeah. Couldn't move. It was just like freaky. And you know, what makes it scarier is that, you know, there's nothing else in this room but a bed. There's no pretty pictures.
Yeah,
there's
right.
no
yeah, yeah,
there's
yeah.
no picture of flowers or Buddha or nothing like that to make you feel better about stuff.
No.
So yeah, it's funny now. I look back at it. It's like funny. It's
so
it's
what
just,
do you
just
what
a
do you
story.
See? Well, it is just a story, but you wanted to actually start with that. So why is that? Why are these moments seminal in your mind? I suppose.
I just think it's important to sort of recognize that sometimes things happen to us and we dismiss it really easily.
Mm.
I think that's important to sort of recognize. I've definitely had so much stuff happen since then, like stuff that, you know, not everyone would like easily believe.
Yeah.
You kind of have to experience it, have a direct experience with that to even know, think, okay, well, that happened, that's possible, you know. But because people have told me stories.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened to me, I haven't had that direct experience. So when they've told me, you know, supernatural stories or stuff that sounds a bit far-fetched, you know, I'll just listen. But, you know, I've dismissed it myself.
It means
nothing to me because I can't.
Well, you weren't there.
I have nothing to associate with it.
Yeah, you got no reference point. Yeah,
that's right. But you know, I decided to sort of start talking about this in different groups. Mm-hmm. I've been speaking in different groups. I've spoken in the targeted individual community.
Yeah,
I've spoken in a spiritual community.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm just down the rabbit hole now. I'll just talk about anything freely, like, because at the end of the day, like, somebody's had, you know, something happen similar to you and is, you know, a seeker of life, searching for answers.
Yeah,
or
seeker of the truth, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's one of the core principles of the podcast, mate. We're just trying to seek
the
truth, you know what I mean?
That's right. And I didn't have anyone to relate to at certain points in my life when I really would have loved that.
Mm.
And I'm like, well, I've met so many people now that have come up to me and said, hey, look, this is happening to me. You know, have you got any experience with that? And we have some of the best conversations I've ever had.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is when you have a conversation like that and you're showing that kind of vulnerability and you're being open with someone else and there's no judgment there, you're just sharing your experience.
Well, mate, it's the ultimate
conversation. You know?
It's the ultimate connection.
Yeah.
Because it's two people that have shared an experience which no one else wants to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, or has direct experience with. So it's this ultimate connection. Like, it feels like, you know, you've just met your soul family.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do think we do meet people along the path that we have actually met before. You know what I mean? I do believe that. That's part of my belief system. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's only a perspective as well. However, you have instant connections with people that seem to be not from around here. You know what I mean? The connection itself. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know?
Definitely.
So, what? So, 21. So, you're how old are you now, mate?
I'm 33.
33. So, everything. So, 28, 29 is when...
29... was when I separated.
Yeah.
So I lost everything all at once.
Yeah.
I lost, I didn't know where my kids were for a little while.
Yeah.
Pretty much confronted my ex about, you know, some things.
Mm-hmm.
Which I won't go too deep into.
No, we don't need to go into that, mate. But,
things
fell apart, you know
what
I mean?
It came time, like, it was just serious. Like, I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, so I'm not ashamed to say, like, you know, you want to stay together for the kids and stuff. And And you think, you know, your kids are your world.
Mm.
So you think sometimes you might think you're giving them, you know, the best version of life by staying together.
Yeah.
And it's just when I got to the point when I'm like, no, I actually think I could do better for them, you know, as a single parent.
You got to be, at some point you have to find the best version of yourself.
That's right.
And at that point, if you're not with the person that's going to help you find the best version of yourself, the best thing you got to do is walk away. And that's not easy. And it's not an easy thing to do. However, there is times when that has to be done, mate. So, you know, that's totally fine. You know, and as long as you are aware of your decisions, mate. You know what I mean? I think.
Well, yeah, yeah. I think when you reach enough, you know, maturity about something, it's, you know, you can make in a more informed decision, you know, when you're chilled out about things.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when you're like, you know, we didn't really, you know, fight a great deal at all, like really. But like people do grow at different rates.
Yes.
As well. Okay. So, you know, you have to recognize that we are all on a spiritual on our own journey, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I do think we are all on our, you know, own spiritual journey in our own way. Like,
yeah, oh yeah.
If you believe you're more than a body, like,
no, you're much more than the meat sack, mate. You're much more than the meat sack. Yeah.
So, basically, after you know some some events, sort of just let it play out, and I've pretty much living out of my car, and I ended up sleeping on a mate's couch.
Yeah.
I lost my business. I lost my home.
Yeah.
Didn't know where my kids were for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so pretty much every single thing that I identified as myself
was gone.
It was gone. Yeah, that's right. It was gone. So it had to happen. Like, you know, I had to trigger the question, right? Who am I?
Yes.
What is this?
Yes. Yes.
And I was just asking at a soul level.
Yes.
I wasn't asking just, you know, like, just like top of my head level. It was really on a soul level.
You were deep into the higher self and just really trying to figure out who you were. I mean, that's the seminal question that I ask everybody. Who are you? It's not your car. It's not your house. It's not your job. It's not anything. Who, aside from all of that, who are you? And most people can't answer it. That's the interesting thing and a little bit, you know, disappointing thing, that a lot of people have got no idea. They actually aren't able to answer that question because we are attached to the things that we've been told to be attached to, which don't make us who we are.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you had to ask yourself that question. So couch surfing was all happening.
Yeah, yeah. Because I didn't identify, like, you know, I could no longer identify with anything around me, it was all taken away from me, right? Yeah. And I was pretty much an atheist at the time, to be honest. I had, I wasn't religious. I hadn't been involved in any religions prior. I didn't attend anything spiritual at all. Nothing. I was probably pretty safe to say I was an atheist.
Yeah.
But so it wasn't like a spiritual question at the time asking who I am, but I did
I think it always is a spiritual question. Again, it's a loaded term, you know what I mean? We've got so many things that are attached to that in the modern world that spiritual can mean many things.
Yeah,
you
know? So
if you're trying to access the spirit of yourself, then in essence you are being spiritual, you know what I mean? Because you are trying to access your spirit as it is.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, any other moments you want to discuss before the critical mass, I suppose you would call it, that lead up to that? Or is it basically... So, when you're couch surfing, did you... Obviously, you're not drinking the wine anymore, you're not eating the cheese.
No, mate, I put it... Look, I'm pretty much all or nothing, right?
Yeah.
So everything that I identified with, it was taken away from me by the universe.
Yeah.
So I replaced it with everything exact opposite.
Okay.
I gave up every single thing you consider a bad habit. Yeah. Right? No sugar, no drinking at all.
Yeah.
I started exercising.
Yeah.
I started meditating.
Yeah.
No one told me to do that. I just started doing it.
Yeah.
Well,
I think you were listening to your body, mate. You were listening to your soul. Yeah, yeah. That's what it needed, you know?
Yeah, mate. Another aspect of me just took over.
Mm.
Just like I went on an autopilot,
mm-hmm.
and that's probably how I dealt with, you know, a lot of stuff I wasn't ready to deal with.
Yes.
Well,
I think you're probably processing it through that. Through doing those things that you're doing, you're sinking into your body, into your mind, trying to heal yourself from within, I suppose. You know what I mean? I think...
Yeah, but it wasn't actually a real conscious effort. Like, I can see the purpose for it now, how it all perfectly played out.
Yeah.
But then, like, I was just on autopilot.
Yeah.
Look, I can say with all honesty, I did nothing wrong with my body. I quit everything bad.
Yeah.
And that had a huge effect on my state of being.
Oh, would
my
do,
emotion.
Yeah.
Something I did, I worked on forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness was a huge thing.
That's okay, yeah.
Now, what I really want to share about forgiveness is a lot of us say it, but we don't mean it.
That's true.
We say, well, I forgive you, and it's basically so we can move on and, you know, just sort of move on with the day or whatever and get things done.
Yeah.
But forgiveness is actually an emotion. It has emotional energy behind it.
Oh, it's an energy, yeah.
When I say emotion, like, I always like put a apostrophe between the E, emotion, because I think of it as energy in motion now. That's
okay.
What I think
that's
of it. So, yeah, it's like...
That's interesting. Did you come up with that yourself, or was that something you found?
I came up with it, and then I heard someone say it. That's always been the way with me. I have an experience, and then something validates it.
Yeah, right, because that's actually very true. Emotion, energy in motion.
Yeah.
I think that's very interesting.
A lot of our language has these, like, trippy things around it.
Yeah,
it's like
Our
language is like, you know, if you're, like, spelling, we're literally casting spells all the time. Like, we're spelling.
Yeah,
like
language is interesting, yeah.
Everything that you say has energy behind
Absolutely, definitely, yeah. Everything is energy, mate, you know what I mean? Like, myself and Frank just did the Everything's Energy, or, you know, the Quest for Self 5 energy podcast. Yeah. Everything is energy. It doesn't matter which way you look at it, you know. So I've got to, during this transformation, because it seems to me like, you said it happened very quickly, or the awakening at such happened like...
It took like 40 days.
Yeah.
It was a 40-day transition, and I was a different person completely.
Yeah.
My family...
And is that you quit everything, got into everything 40 days later? Was that the time frame you're looking at?
No. It was there and then. It's like this decision wasn't even in my own hands. I literally went into autopilot.
Yeah.
And... I just started doing everything differently. And look, to be honest, probably back then it was probably part of escapism, because I didn't really want to associate myself with this old version, you know, of me.
Yes.
I wanted complete change there and then.
Yeah.
I didn't want to think about all the pain and problems in my life.
Yeah.
So basically I've just, I just went in autopilot, was done.
Mm.
But after doing that, like, so I also stopped eating meat.
Yeah.
And what happened was I actually became more sensitive to, like, chemicals.
Yeah.
In the environment. I actually became more sensitive to energy. Mm. I had a dream. Like, one night I had a dream, like, pretty much soon after all of this happened. This dream was, like, story. It was like a Bible story. Mate, I didn't even read the Bible, but we had just a handful of stories read to us by a primary school teacher.
Yeah. Well, there's the usual religious education back then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just the typical stuff, you know. But, I knew a few of the stories from, like, the Old Testament. And I had this dream. It was, like, the same as King Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which Daniel the prophet sort of had to sort of tell him what his dream meant. So it's a bit foggy now, but it was basically, he had this dream about this statue that was like made of clay at the bottom.
Yeah.
It was like bronze in the middle and gold up the top or something like
that. Yeah, I vaguely remember the story you're talking about.
Yeah, and basically, you know, it all, because the bottom was made of clay, it all fell apart.
Yes, yeah.
I just had the dream. I'm like, whoa, that was a different kind of dream than I'm used to having. I was always connected with my dreams, remembered my dreams.
Yeah.
And this dream just felt a little bit different.
So basically it's telling you that your foundation is made of clay.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But I had to look it up. I'm like, this dream is something familiar about this. And I just I just remembered that Bible story. I looked it up, and I looked up the meaning, and I'm like, holy crap, that totally relates to my life right now.
Yeah.
And I had a few dreams like that. A lot of them, sometimes I just have like a Bible passage, like, you know, the numbers, like,
yeah,
be like,
yeah,
John 33 or whatever.
Yeah, John 18:6, whatever it is.
Yeah, something like that. I'd have that flash in my head, like as a sort of psychic vision,
right,
in a way. And I'd look that up. Yep, had relevance and guidance for my life.
So have you, so where does your religion, where do you sit religiously now?
I don't.
You don't? Yeah.
I honestly, in terms of religion, I think anybody out there that is seeking, you know, hats off to them, really.
Oh, look, that's my opinion as well. Religion has its place. It satisfies a tribal mentality.
Yeah, it does.
Helps people join together and be part of a group and all that sort of stuff. And they are trying to access their own version of spirituality. Higher power type stuff. There's nothing wrong with religion on the face of it. It's the enforcement and practices of some religions that are the issue. However, the idea and the basis of all religions is actually quite pure, you know, and they're pretty much all exactly the same too. Not a lot of people like me saying that, however it's true. You know, the basis of them are pretty much all the same. Be cool to everybody, understand there's something greater than yourself, and, you know, don't kill each other.
That's right. I mean, yeah. If it doesn't say that, it's kind of not a religion. That's like called something different, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. So with these, so I'm just trying to line the time frame up in my mind, right? So
this was pretty much straight after, like.
So everything goes to shit. You end up on a mate's couch pretty much the next night, and then 40 days.
Pretty close. Like it sort of seems that way, but.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of going backwards and forwards.
Yeah,
still had a business to run.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of shifting going on. A lot
of crap going on.
But the couch experiences is something that was in there. It's something that sticks out to me.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Going from like having, you know, what I felt was the world at my feet for a young man to having nothing, definitely.
It's a humbling experience when whatever it is taken away from you.
Oh, yeah. I needed it. Good universal slap in the face. I love it. I love that stuff.
Yeah,
that's what
it'll universal hand to man if you're not careful. So.
Oh, I'm sick of being careful, mate.
So, getting into the fitness, cleaned your diet up, basically purifying your body. You have a dream about a. Basically lack of true foundation.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I suppose even with your trying to chase the physical, were you doing that to feel better physically, or you just, was that a egotistical thing as well, do you think? Or
nah, mate. Autopilot.
Autopilot.
Nah. Well, maybe some ego. Like there's always ego. There's always ego there. Like
absolutely.
But I was just... I don't know, like, I ate, like, a lot of meat and bread and dairy when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I hated salad.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah, anything that, yeah.
So, for me to stop doing all that, like, yeah, it was just a complete change. I'm, like, going to be, you know, just a leaf eater for a little bit.
Yeah. Just try and clean the, get some roughage in the system.
I cut out dairy. I cut out, like, bread.
Yeah.
A lot of that reason was eczema. So eczema is like comes out in your skin.
Yeah,
like
I
had super bad skin and was pretty much tried like a lot of things. You try and fix it with a band-aid pretty much. Eczema is something that, you know, stems from the gut.
I was just going to say a lot of your skin conditions are in your gut biome. They're definitely finding that out now.
Yeah. So it was you know, there was a reason for that. Like I say, everything worked out sort of perfectly. Like, I can see, like, you know, it was all meant to be. Everything makes sense and has alignment, you know, coincidences in the right places, synchronicities.
Definitely.
Led me to where I am. But there was that stage, like, you know, after, you know, it was a bit traumatic. And I was in autopilot when I started started doing all these things, and then I become more conscious, like, you know, well, this feels good.
Yeah, exactly. I'm actually doing something that's helping me.
Yeah. I started to feel really empowered, like, you know, my whole state of being changed, completely changed.
Yeah.
People wouldn't even recognize me. I lost weight pretty quick.
Yeah.
Maybe some of that was stress.
Yeah, I would say so. There'd be a fair bit going on, yeah.
It wasn't a smooth transition for me at all. Like, I would wake up at night, like, with anxiety attacks and sweating and stuff, because I had a business, like, you know, I'd lost absolutely everything. Right?
Yeah.
And I was still going through the motions of that, but I absolutely stuck to...
You had the discipline outside of that. You're employing a discipline.
Yeah.
Had you really ever had that discipline before?
No. No.
Yeah.
No, mate. No.
Not
on the same level. Never on the same level. Like, no, I needed the catalyst. That's why it happened.
Yes. There is nothing without contrast.
And a lot of it is, like, I know a lot of people struggle to just sort of, you know, to quit smoking, to quit drinking. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would love to quit something.
Yes.
But I didn't know this back then. Like, this is a lot of stuff I've learned later.
Yeah.
But it's a lot easier to do that when you quit everything at once.
Yeah, because the triggers that are associated with other thing no longer affect you because you're not engaging in anything.
That's right. Yeah. I think it was a lot easier because, like, that's my personality type. I'm an INFJ personality type, according to, like, Myers and Briggs.
Yeah.
Don't know if you're familiar with that, but anyway.
I've done it before. It was a while ago.
Yeah. So it's, like, pretty rare personality type, but, like, one of the things about that is that, you know, I am black and white on that. Like, I'm all or nothing.
Yeah, that's
like,
it. You're in or you're not.
Yeah.
So now you're in on the health kick. You've got your body to a state where it is actually healthy. You are, and then you're beginning to be aware of your mind. You're gaining your own personal power, and all these things come at the same time. Like, I had a very similar, not as catastrophic as your experience. However, I have had a similar experience in my existence where you just you re-engage with yourself, I think, is what we're doing. You know what I mean? That's what you're doing. However, you go from chasing something that isn't actually giving you anything to doing something that does truly give you something. You know what I mean? Whereas it's like, and through that process, so you weren't a very spiritual person before this?
Look, I wouldn't have called myself that at all. Like, I didn't.
I think maybe I was a couple of times.
I guess, like, you know, it's hard to say that, you know, I've never been spiritual now that I look back. But at that time, in that perspective,
during that
through
period
that young
of
man's
life.
Filters,
yes, exactly,
you know,
yeah.
that guy, like, yeah. I can't even identify with that guy anymore. Like, I mean, it's a memory, it's a story,
yeah,
right. It has no gravity on where I am now.
Mm. So how would you class your, do you class your spirituality now? Do you have a set of belief systems or, I mean, because how did you, the big question I wanted to ask you was why ascribe the term Kundalini to what happened to you?
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's like, I don't why that term matches your experience. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah, that's awesome. So, share this first. So, a couple of really out there experiences. So, during a meditation one day, I was in the same place at the business after we separated, and I was meditating. And I felt like something touched me on the shoulder. Like, there's a person here with me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Well, I opened my eyes, looked around, there's nothing there. And I forgot a lot of that. Felt like something touching me, something else, you know, in the room with me.
Mm.
And, you know, it always feels loving, feels nurturing.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm sensitive to energy more than I ever have been now.
Mm.
But, yeah, like back then, you know, it just didn't feel anything wrong with that. It felt really comforting for where I was, you know, emotionally and that. Like, it felt really comforting.
Yeah, you probably needed a hand on the shoulder, like, with everything you were going through at the time.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Going through this transformational period. Like, the Kundalini, like, I felt... So, you know, you've heard the term of chakras and stuff, right?
Yes, you know, I'm well aware of that stuff.
I had had no idea what a chakra was.
Hmm.
Okay.
Chakra.
Well, chakra, yeah. There you go, man. Still no idea.
Yeah.
So basically, when I was just standing up, like, not doing anything in particular, and I feel something outside of my body, like it starts spinning. But it feels like it's my body, but it's not touching my physical body.
Yeah.
But it feels a part of me.
Mm.
And it just happened one by one.
Mm.
And it was like, started at, like, where, if you look on a diagram, where the chakras are, yeah, your base chakra, right? Yeah. And it just went up. And I could even see, like, I could even visualize colors then, like,
yeah.
It just opened up, and I'm like, I had no idea what that was.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. My immediate reaction was, what am I going to tell the doctor?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah. And I decided not to go to the doctor.
Mm.
Decided to sort of, like, you know, just go on Dr. Google.
So basically you're saying it's spinning energy. I'm trying to base root. I'm trying to remember how the chakras is. The crown chakra is the top, throat chakra, heart chakra,
solar
root,
plexus,
base, and then your root chakra.
Yeah.
So was it going up? So basically, from an energetic perspective, if I was to say something, it sounds to me like your chakras are being activated. They're being opened. Yeah.
I was being activated.
Yeah.
I felt a lot of energy surge through my body.
Yeah.
And when I looked that up, like, you know, I'm looking online, I remembered I'd done this massage course prior for, it was for the business that I was at.
Yep.
Because I had some spare time on the property where I work, the accommodation business. It was on a 40-acre property with a vineyard.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, being told I could actually go out, do some other work, you know, and probably pay someone to do some stuff here. But anyway, I'm like, well, instead of going out and looking for other work at another place, like, what can I add to this place? Like,
yeah,
what can I do? Like, I want to be here. I want to spend time here. But so anyway, I just decided to go and do a massage course.
Yeah.
I went all the way, man. I became a remedial therapist.
Yeah, right.
I loved it. And I was really, really good at it, honestly. And I saw my first aura.
Okay.
Around teacher.
Yeah.
Teacher was helping a student in lunch break, and I saw blue all around her. I was sitting on the table, just sitting waiting for a mate, and from the corner of my eye, I see blue around her, and I'm like, I just said out in the middle of the classroom, like, oh, fuck. in this massage course, and she just looks at me like, are you okay, Daniel? Like, you right there, mate? Like, what's that about? I'm like, no, don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's all fine. Didn't see nothing. And she's like, no, tell us. And anyway, I decided to open up about it. I said, look, I've seen blue all around you.
Yeah.
She's like, what do you say? And I'm a smurf. I'm like, no, it's like energy. It's like, I saw energy around you.
Mm.
She's like, oh, you've seen an aura, mate. You've seen an aura.
Yeah.
Okay, see my aura. And she's like, blue. Okay, well, she had a lot of empathy for the student.
Yeah.
So yeah, we sort of put.
She was expressing that emotion at the time that you looked at it. It's interesting. A lot of people.
Yeah, and
say,
I just saw it. I just saw energy around her.
A lot of people see that stuff out of the corner of their eye as well. Like everyone's seen something out of the corner of their eye that's like.
Well, this, yeah, this was like seeing. This was just like looking.
So was this,
anything
this
physical.
Is before? This, is
this was beforehand. Yeah. Mm. So like I'm saying, I had a few things happen, but then I just forgot about it.
Yeah.
And I forgot it again about it again until just now.
Well, I mean, it seems to me that you had experiences along the way.
Yeah, no, I just ignored everything.
Yeah, you just
so I needed a slap.
You
know,
yeah, I think you've had
needed a kick in the ass.
You had a few, you know, like knock on the door. Hey, mate.
You're
paying
yeah.
attention. Hey, what are you doing? You're gonna have, right. start looking into this stuff. And so, did all your energy centers get activated at once?
I think. From memory, like first two, and like they were spread apart a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, yeah.
But I felt like they were all receiving energy, but mm-hmm. the actual opening, like the activation,
yeah,
was a little bit apart, but
mm.
still over a short period of time.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm getting over a cough. So
yeah,
sometimes
no,
I'm just like, I just need to breathe.
You just need to breathe. No, it's all good, man. It's all good. So after your energy centers were activated,
I went down the rabbit hole.
You went down the rabbit hole. And that, well, and that's how you
this?
Came up yeah. with Kundalini? Because, I mean,
well,
look, chakras are an Indian thing. I mean,
well, it's not a word I invented, mate.
No,
it's
no,
one
no,
I
no,
found
no.
which fit the description at the time.
Yeah, that's yeah. what you used. Yeah.
And, yeah, and I've done Kundalini yoga since then and sort of expressed this. And it's like, yeah, well, you know, that's my reasoning behind it. Like, you know.
So during the Kundalini yoga, have you had similar experiences?
No.
No?
Nope. No, I haven't.
Mm.
I haven't.
And see, look, as I say, and I'm happy for you to.
It was more in the body.
Like, yeah,
there's more stuff
like
happening in the body when I did Kundalini yoga.
Yeah.
Like, you know, more oxygen into the muscles,
and
feel you do feel a bit lighter. You feel better.
Mm. Like you do after most exercise too.
Yeah. No, not the. Didn't that wouldn't have triggered the activations.
Mm.
I mean, maybe. Maybe if I did it for 90 years or something.
But yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think what happened for me was it was just time. Like, like I actually kept doing the dieting and the exercising long after the first, like, couple of energy centers.
Yeah,
chakras
sure,
activated.
Sure.
It just, yeah, just happened. Like, I don't know. It's just like a spark in my consciousness. And it happened. Like, the universe decided, my higher self decided
yeah,
it's
time.
Yeah,
your higher self decided
it's
it was time.
Time.
Yeah, that's, yep. yeah, that's how I look at it as well.
Look, it was shocking. It was a shock.
Like, was it a shock because...
Tried to be an atheist, but couldn't after that.
Well, that was what I mean. You had mentioned atheist a few times.
yeah.
You know, I suppose it's shocking more from the point that you hadn't really... experienced anything like that before, or you were living the materialistic life.
That's right. That's where I was focused. Like, yeah. yeah, stuff was happening, but my focus wasn't on.
No.
You know,
and we easily write stuff off, especially things we don't understand and we might be a little bit fearful of. We easily just ignore them.
Well,
and, you know,
and also to be fair, like, you know, hanging out, like, drinking a lot. Like when you got a vineyard, you got some pretty good mates come around and visit you.
Yeah.
Through the week,
yeah.
on the weekend,
yeah.
you know, I was always putting something on for a mate.
Mm.
And, you know, some of my friends, some people I was hanging out with were, like, atheists themselves or, you know, like, you know.
Well, you become a product of your environment too,
that's
mate.
Right, that's yeah. right. So, like, you know, I wasn't going to, there was no opening to talk about this stuff.
Mm. Even if it was happening, you were curious about it, there was no room.
Well, I didn't have any support around me to, you know, to open up to that.
Mm.
My family was not spiritual in any way, shape or form.
Yeah, right.
Good people.
Yeah.
Like you ask them, you know, what's God to you? Well, it just means being a good person, like, you know, God, just add an extra O and just be good.
Yeah, yeah. And look, that's as good as
that's
explanation.
As far as
isn't
it went, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's about 4 years ago now, you're saying that this has happened to you.
Yep.
So where is it? So how long have you been sharing this? Because I know this isn't the first, as you said, this is not the first platform you're beginning to share your story.
I had a lot of experience, and I had a lot of people sort of following behind me on the same sort of track.
Mm.
And I'd already been through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just by default started teaching about it on an individual level.
Yeah.
Not charging for it or anything. Like, we just, you know, I was getting way more of a connection, you know, meeting people and sharing.
Oh, absolutely. But
having
yeah.
experiences. And
it's
all
more about energy than anything else, mate. I think that's the most important thing.
Well, you know, it was just life after that was just about synchronicities. Mm. Like, it's just a flow.
Yeah.
Flow of the universe. Mm. Pretty much. Sorry.
You're right, mate. You're right.
So, I pretty much left behind the idea of negative and positive. Like, yeah, they're things, they do exist as far as your experience goes. But they both have to exist. But everything is love. Everything's made in love. Well, I think the universe is biased in love. Mm. It's like you throw a stone into the water, you get a ripple. It depends on what side of the ripple you're standing. It's like, is the little wave that's being made, is it being pushed or pulled? It's all about perspective.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Glass half empty, glass half full.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's all perspective.
Mm.
But that's something that triggered the other activations was going right into forgiveness.
Mm.
And how I did that was I realized that everything was for a reason.
Yeah. You're right, mate. You're right, mate. Take your time. You got some water there?
No, just the ginger drink, mate.
Just the ginger wine.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Look, we won't keep going too much longer, mate, so I can hear your voice is starting to give, so it's totally fine. However, I suppose, and as I say, this is only your first podcast, won't be the last time you come on, we'll explore some other things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this awakening sent you on the path that you're currently on now, and you're beginning to open up and share it and help people. I suppose what we can do is I can hear your voice given out. So let's wrap it up. So I'm going to ask you a couple of ending questions.
Yeah.
And I suppose what would you say for or say to other people? As you said, you're doing a bit of coaching. You're helping some people through experiences. You know, and look, I don't think you're alone in the place that you've come from. What would you say to those that are beginning to wake up themselves? You know what I mean? Like if you've got a captive audience now, you know, 100 plus people will download this in the next, you know, once I upload it in the next month or so. Yeah. What would you say to them if they're experiencing similar things to you?
Look, everything is perfect. But the thing is, you can't see it until you're looking backwards. You have to go on the journey, and then you'll make the realizations later. And you'll see that everything had to happen that way for a reason.
It's home is obviously, isn't it?
The universe has your back.
Yeah. It
really does. There is so much planning going into the universe. There's so much sacred geometry. There's maths in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's put together by a great mathematician. We're not it.
No.
You got to trust it.
Yeah. Yeah. Trust the universe. Well, mate, as it's your first podcast, and I do this to everybody, it's their first podcast. Well, if you had that was actually a really beautiful final statement, but if you had anything after that, what would be your final statement?
Watch out for the synchronicities and the patterns in life, right? They're all trying to show you something. They're always trying to take you to your greatest version, right? And your greatest version, you're not going to find it unless you start seeking it.
Mm-hmm.
Great idea not to get stuck in a box. The reason why we have boxes is for safety only. It's to protect our ego.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, a lot of my journey has happened, like ascending my consciousness has happened very, very quickly for me.
Mm.
That's my perspective. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's all about shaking you out of the box,
mm-hmm.
And you put yourself in another box. You yes. build the walls, mate. You're the master carpenter.
Exactly, exactly.
You are the master carpenter. Mm. You will build a new box mm-hmm. to protect yourself mm-hmm. from what you're not ready to know.
Yeah.
And when the universe says you're ready, or your higher self, whatever path you're on,
mm.
a box is going to get shaken again.
Yeah.
So whatever your perspective is, be prepared to change it if you want to grow.
Yeah, absolutely.
I change perspectives like I change shirts.
Yeah.
What will I wear today?
Yeah. And look, I think that's very good advice, man. You've got to be open-minded and know, you know, one of my favorite things that I've said on this podcast 100 times is that for me, the journey is actually more about understanding what you don't know than it is about understanding what you do know. Because, you know, we know nothing. Nothing. You know, and that's what excites me. So if you can give me a different perspective that'll help me change my perspective, that excites me. It's like, oh, yeah. Wow, how did you come up with that? What's the information?
Yeah.
Is it valid? You know, you don't tie yourself down to any one perspective. And, you know, I like the wall analogy, the carpenter analogy.
It's yours.
Yeah, I like the one that I like using is bricks. You know what I mean? Your belief systems are bricks, or like a Jenga tower. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You pull the right fucking piece out, the whole lot will come down. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that happened.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that next time, mate. Well, look, thanks very much for coming on, man. I know you still got a bit of a cough. Get that sorted out, and maybe next time come out to the studio and we'll crack on in there and see where we end up that time.
Oh, sounds brilliant, man. Thanks for having me.
No worries, mate. Thank you very much.
Cheers, brother.
Good on you guys. Look after yourselves. Be cool. We'll talk soon. Cheers. Have I burned out? Have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back? Find my strength? Have been gold, tomorrow losing their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. I never turned to the bottle to wash away the demons in my mind. I stood up and knocked them down. Though I had a struggle, the colored eyes of the kind. Now they have built me up. I've always had the answer. I'm not one to self-destruct. There's too many smiles that I love. And when my world comes crashing down, I get right back up. The brunt, I walk out of the road. Have I burned out? Have I blackened the ground? Will I fight back? Find my strength again? Days have been gold, but tomorrow losing their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. I never turned to the bottom to wash away the demons in my mind. I stood up and knocked them down. And if you wanna take me out, you need more than both your barrels to shoot me down. Have I blackened the ground?
Will I fight back, find my strength again? Days have been gold, but tomorrow news and their shine. Will I give up? I doubt it. Will I give up? I doubt it. Will I give it all?